All right, shoot, Chris.
Okay, I was just saying that you can say the chat after Jane put hers in, mine opened up. So I don't know what was going on, but if that's okay, I'll just go. So I'm doing the fitness scoring, on the fitness scorecard. And under the body composition, it's mentioned total, to record the total skeletal mass. Okay. Now my smart scale, and I don't know, this might be splitting hairs. My smart scale says skeletal muscle, and it also, or the another choice, skeletal mass. So it's got two of those. So I'm not sure if what I'm supposed to record for that because I don't know what's accurate. And then I'm like, maybe my smart scale is kind of dumb. Maybe I need a better one. I don't know.
Right. Yes, that's always the question. So say it again. So it says skeletal muscle.
Yes, it says skeletal muscles, and that's one of the categories. And the other one is skeletal or muscle mass. So it's not together like you had mentioned total skeletal muscle mass. So I'm like, I don't know what the heck I'm supposed to choose here.
Is that a Renfro or what are you using?
Actually, it's a V-Sync.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
So.
So what I would do is choose one to use, number one. So you're going to see the change. Choose that one, stay with that one, and just use that as this is the one I'm really monitoring for change. But somewhere in user's manual, there's got to be a breakdown of what is that? What are you talking about? So I would look on the website, the manufacturer's product website or a user's manual, and look at what is this supposed to mean? Because what you're looking for is the total. You are looking for muscle mass, but it should be the one and the same. So I'm not sure what the distinction is. How dramatically different are they?
Severely.
Well, that's
And I'm with you. Like I've looked under, to try to get some idea of it, like in the manual, it doesn't give me any more. So maybe I will reach out to the manufacturer because maybe they'll have more. One is a muscle mass says 99%. Excellent. And I'm like, huh? What
Is
does
it
it say?
rating you? So is that a rating?
It's
Sounds
according to what comes
like
up on
it.
my scale. Yeah, I don't know. And then skeletal muscle, it says 32%. And it's,
Oh,
well, poor.
so you're getting a percent, not pounds or kilograms.
Correct. I do have one other thing that it says fat-free body weight. That's in pounds. And then I have bone mass in pounds.
So, and I'm just going to say bone mass is probably not all that accurate, but your fat-free mass is also math. So if you got a percent body fat, we're just taking weight, body fat percent, and it's the rest. It's everything else, organs, muscle, bone, it's all of it. So fat-free mass, not super helpful. The early bioimpedance scales, that's all they did is percent body fat. But what you really want is sell yours on Agresso and then get one that will do skeletal mass in pounds or kilograms. So you actually have the absolute, not a sliding scale of percentage, because that's a slippery slope. Your body fat goes up or down. Well, your muscle percent just changed. Not because you gained muscle, lost muscle, but because something else changed. So if we have a percent, we're just going to see slices of the pie get smaller or bigger. We really want absolute if possible. But
Okay.
for what you have right now, to kind of just solve the problem, is I would look at, I think what they're doing is it sounds like one being 99%, but the other one 32 makes no sense to me. Because what I thought you were going to say is the 99 was they were ranking you as you're per according to norms, you're doing really well with the amount that you have. But then based on the other one being 32%, that makes no sense.
Okay.
So I'm
Well,
more confused than ever. So I'm not much help. Sorry about that.
no, not at all. Actually, it's very helpful everything you said. So I have a way to go, and I'll either select one of these. Not, well, obviously, I'm going to select the skeletal because 99 is there's nowhere to go. I don't even understand that. And then I will also check into any more information from the company. And if that all doesn't pan out for me, I'm just going to buy a new scale.
Okay. Great.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
Of
Appreciate it.
course. Thank you. Does anyone
Okay.
else want to brave the just do voice to voice? Like we could talk like real humans. If anybody wants to do that, let me know. And you are more than welcome to come up. And I'm gonna, sorry, I'm kind of facing the light so that I've got sunlight and we're not in the dark, but it makes it hard to read. So Jane said, FYI, I just registered for the August Midwest retreat. Looking forward to meeting you in person and learning less. That's awesome. So happy. Thank you. I'd like your thoughts on how best to add the Pilates videos into my weekly routine. Currently, Monday and Thursday mornings are stronger days. Tuesday and Thursday evenings, yoga, kayaking, hiking, or walking when I can. I was thinking of adding Pilates to the end of stronger workouts. Thoughts? Yeah, I like that. And I think you can't go wrong with Pilates. I mean, unless you are really a woman who's driving yourself crazy and trying to put so much and have it so regimented in that you are exhausted, that would be, I suppose, the extreme. But if it feels good and you just want to use that, either you can use it kind of same session and have one flow into the other, or you could do one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and ideally the most intense first thing in the morning. But they're just so different and yet so very complementary. And even Pilates first could be fine. But if you want to do it second, also good. But I think first can really help you wake up some muscles. But the opposite would be true for those of you who are doing large muscle groups first, then you kind of have fatigued them and got glycogen is out of them. Now your smaller muscles, what we call kind of global stabilizers, you find those little teeny tiny ones that you didn't know you had for a while, and it can make you a little bit more aware of them, not trying to muscle through it, but really tapping into the deeper work, which is great. So I think your plan is a good one. I also think if you're listening and you're doing your Pilates at a different time, or there are more than one right answers here. And the most important thing is if you're thinking of adding either yoga or Pilates, is that you're not doing it from a calorie burning standpoint or I've got to do more. It's just I really enjoy this activity. I enjoy how I feel when I do this activity, and I kind of wanna tweak it, and my overall energy is good. So sounds like you're very active and everything is going well. And so I think there's nothing wrong with tacking it on to doing it that way. So absolutely looking for stronger core and back. Yeah, great. And I think I wish there were more hours in the day, because I think back to, when I was training to teach Pilates, and when you go through that teacher training and you're just so diligent, and the fastest way to let Pilates fall out of your life is to become a Pilates instructor, because then you start doing it less and less yourself and you start teaching it. Similar to anything else, and you take on more things, and you can do actually less of some of those things. But it absolutely will help core and posture for every other activity that you're doing. So it has huge benefits, and some of that can also be maintained. But you will know if you're somebody who's done either yoga or Pilates, I would put them both into the same boat. If you've done them regularly and you know the feeling of being fine-tuned, and then you fall out of it, you will realize, oh, I need to get back to that. And maybe that is your cue to do, a 30-day challenge, even of your own. And, any of you, I just want to remind you of all the features in the app you have. If you're here from Stronger, I'm going to take a tangent for a moment, because you're not quite in the app yet, but you have this ability to create your own playlist, which essentially could also be your own challenge. If you decided, I want to do, a Pilates challenge for a month or for 2 weeks, You can create a playlist and drag those into your own calendar. So just keep thinking about other ways that you can use the assets that you've got. Lacey said, my Renfro scale describes muscle mass as skeletal, smooth, and cardiac combined. And I was thinking about Renfro, and maybe it was from our conversation, Lacey. It could have been, or somebody else's, because I knew that there was another scale that did that. Linda says, hello, I've missed the last 2 weeks because of doctor appointments. But I was having loose stools for too long. My functional doctor basically took me off of almost all my supplements. I don't know what happened. It came out of nowhere. Haven't made any changes. He put me on magnesium that he sells only one a day. My biggest concern is my bones because he told me to stop AlgaCal Plus that has magnesium oxide in it. Oh. He said I can continue the strontium boost. Interesting. I'd appreciate your thoughts and anything that might help. And thank you. So, first of all, I appreciate your asking and your faith in me. But second of all, I'm not a physician and I'm not your physician. So there's no way that I want to override anything that your physician would say. And that's just kind of out of my scope, my boundaries. But what I would say, if it were me, and that is the way that I can answer. So if I were in your position and that had happened to me, I would probably be willing to remove everything in order to do a scientific experiment and say, okay, I'm going to now look at reintroducing things one by one by one and see then how my body responds to each introduction. And it gets a little complicated because if you're introducing, one supplement and while you're taking that experience, no problems. Everything is fine. You introduce another one. You're not just testing that second one, but you're testing that second one interacting with maybe the first one, and so on down the line. So it gets a little complicated, and the compounding effects of different ingredients in some of your supplements. I know there are some of you from our community who would say, I know I need to take these supplements at one time so that they're away from other supplements. And a lot of micronutrients are fine to take together, but others not so much. So in the past, years ago, so I introduced something to those of you who've been here for a long time in the early days. Nutrients, which was a multivitamin, and it was made with some technology that was pretty smart, suggesting that if we just take a multivitamin, that multivitamin already has ingredients that are competing in it. So we take them and we're already not getting 100% of whatever is in that because some of them are fighting. It's like musical chairs inside, and they sit on receptors. And not everyone is going to get a seat if they both want the same seat and they go for it. Somebody's not going to get there. It's not like you'll get a percent of one and the other. You might get all of one and none of another. But yeah, we don't know. It's roulette. So that technology, they had broken their nutrients. Product is what it's called, and it's not with a T like it sounds. It's like making sense is how they spelled it. It was very cute and clever, probably not very findable because I don't hear too much about them anymore. But they had basically you take two packets, one in the morning and one in the evening, and they weren't the same. They weren't like half of a pill, so you're going to absorb it better. They were smaller doses. But they were things that were non-competitive. You could take these together, no problem. And you could take these together. But if we put that all back together, some of these are competing with that. Same idea. And, I think that's going to be true. It definitely is for something like iron. So if you're taking, say, a multivitamin or other things, you're supposed to take iron away from all of it. So maybe in the middle of the day is when you would take that iron supplement. So it's better absorbed with food and other things, but by itself. And I think the same thing is true if you've got a big stack. If you're doing okay with it and you find that the reason you're taking it, those things are improving, then I think we don't necessarily have to fix it. But I do think if you've got those obvious signs, stripping them away and bringing them back one by one would be a good idea. Looking at anything with oxide in it, and we know that's not ideal, right? But because calcium can be constipating. A lot of women find that that is a big struggle when they're given a calcium supplement. But the AlgaCal is supposedly a little bit different and more gentle on someone. So I would definitely, number one, you got to fix the problem because loose stools mean you're not digesting or absorbing something anyway. So you got taken off the supplements, but if you think of it like as long as you've been dealing with loose stools, you were off them already. So you've been off for longer than you kind of give yourself credit for. And now you have the opportunity to fix the gut, heal it, see what's going on, and reintroduce things one by one and see how you do with that. So I hope that makes sense, but that would be my thinking. And anybody else who's got, a thought about that, feel free to add to it. I'm going to scroll again. So hang on. Figured you might say that. Okay. Linda said, well, you should be alarmed if I would not say that, right? Which Renfro model do you have? So share models in the chat, guys, if you want to share your skills. Linda says the AlgaCal doctor said it wouldn't give me that problem. Yeah. Have an Oxaline scale and a pro. It shows a lot of measurements, including several in pounds. Linda, hello. You have any knowledge regarding these two supplements, acetyl L-carnitine and liposomal phospholipid complex? My sister's nutritionist recommended for cognitive support. Our mom had dementia. My sister found in her genetic testing that she might have the gene. So, yeah, acetyl L-carnitine kind of makes the rounds for, different reasons, but generally it's not a top of the list, especially recently, because, in the news and everybody, looking at muscle mass, body composition, recomposition, and bone density. That's kind of where people focus. So it's just a lesser known. And if you're looking at cognition, definitely. So liposomal can be in front of anything. That just means it's going to be better absorbed. So the bioavailability is better. So you can I buy a liposomal vitamin C because it's easier to absorb. The phospholipid complex, so PC. Is what you're hearing people say right now. PC is helping things at the cellular level. So it's not only for brain, but it's for supporting the health of the cell. And I think as we all are taking more supplements and wondering, or hearing about another one and another one and another one, I think you have to get really thoughtful about am I absorbing all of this? So I've begun to focus on, whether that's true and what's the health at the cellular level, because if we're not getting that cell taken care of, It's like the musical chairs, the receptors have to actually be in good shape, and sometimes they need to be dusted off, and just like something in your house would. But the health of the cell, if we're taking supplements to support, I hate to say anti-aging because that's not our word, pro-aging, or to benefit us in the mitochondria or elsewhere, the cell has to be in good shape in order for it to get in. So it's definitely, something that I think more of us are going to hear a lot more about. And definitely, I think you want to look at what other things. So good quality diet, your blueberries and your walnuts and your omega-3s, all of those things are going to be extremely helpful as well. But yes, and I think, in another decade, just no matter how old you are right now, if you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, one more decade is going to probably make us all that much more aware of our brain health, not just, muscle and bone. We're going to find, our sweet spot and what we're able to do and willing to do in time and energy with our exercise. And, what we're willing to do and able to do with taking in adequate supplements. But the staples of, diet are always going to be there. But I do think our brain health is going to get more and more important every single day. I mean, before we get out of bed in the morning, the brain is going to work. It's putting us in a mood. We're either anxious or we're optimistic and excited before we get out of bed. Most people have one or the other of those tendencies. And so as we age, I think that will begin to show up more. And taking care of brain health can be far more important. But one of the biggest vitamins that you can give it is vitamin E, the exercise component to get the circulation moving. So don't forget that every time you're moving your body, you're giving it a free dose of supplementation that is absolutely proven to help beyond the shadow of a doubt. So anybody else have a question? And feel free if you want to unmute, you're welcome to do that. And you just ask it out loud if you'd like to, or you can drop it into the chat if you'd prefer. It looks like Linda's adding. Also, just heard Felicia Girth talking about the possible benefit of cycling progesterone rather than taking it daily. She's saying that maybe cyclical bleed is might be a good thing even after menopause. My thoughts would be, yeah, no, thanks. I'm good. I'm really good. I feel like I've had my quota, so I'm good. And I had late menopause, right? And broke out during the pandemic. Did anybody else have a breakout bleed or two during the pandemic? It happened to a lot of women. And I think more women actually who were at home with other women during the pandemic. But I don't think I need to test that one. So if some of you want to go and go out and test that for the future generation, you guys go right ahead. Anybody else have a question or thought that they would like to discuss today?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I've been kind of inactive for a couple months, a teacher and working two jobs, and my program kind of fell apart. So I thought July would be a good time to start a program again. And I tried to go online, but I keep getting referred back to the app, and I don't know how to like start a program to get those weekly emails that just kind of cue you in. Is that still there or?
It is not. They're all in the app. So the messages are right there on the app with the strength training programs, with the workouts. They're paired with them instead. So if you're, are you inside of the app yet?
Yes.
Great. So if you decide, do you know which program you want to do?
Maybe I'll do four again.
Okay. So when you go into four, you'll see that the resources are all across the top. In week one's email is essentially there. And the reason is email delivery has become such a problem, not just for us. It's a problem across the board. Everybody, the things you and I want often don't get into our inboxes or get into spam or trash or go who knows where. And yet we get all the things we don't want. But we've eliminated that by putting the notes, kind of a PDF, if you will, that says week one. So when you're in week one, if you want the reminders of what am I doing? So rather than it coming to you like an email that will get lost, it's sitting there. So it doesn't actually prompt you. But the positive piece of the app is that if you know I'm going to do stronger four, what I would recommend that you do so that you have an even better prompt is use the calendar piece. So when you open a video, you can go and say, all right, I'm going to do this week one video on Monday and on Thursday, and I'm dragging that to my real-time calendar, whether you use Google or Apple or Outlook or something else. So you could schedule those workouts in real time in your life. Does that
Okay.
make sense?
I haven't utilized the calendar, and I think, yeah, that's my next goal, I guess.
Okay. So that's your lesson this week, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And welcome back. All right, anybody else?
I'd like to, if it's okay.
Absolutely, jump in.
Okay, hi. I also had to interrupt for a little while, only like four weeks or so, because I had surgery and I couldn't pull on my stitches for a little while. But now I'm back in. And just before I had the surgery, I had started Stronger 10, and I had done the two workouts for week one and then for week two, but then I had the surgery. And I thought Stronger 10 might be a little bit hard, like as a restart, as a reset. So I just started, I'm in my second week of Stronger 3 again, because I remember liking it the very first time I did it and it wasn't too strenuous. Do you think I can like go back to 10 in like 4 weeks, or should I do the whole of Stronger 3 before I go back to 10? Because
Great
there's quite a
question.
difference in strength between the two of them, so I don't want to.
So let me ask you how you did 10 when you did it before. Did you use the demo videos or did you use the workouts that I created?
I followed you on video.
Okay, the whole time. Okay.
Yeah, I like that. I like seeing you in my living room.
That scares me incredibly, but the consensus is that I get it. So knowing that, then I would try. And the great thing is you don't have to, we're not gatekeeping anymore. So go and do 4 weeks, kind of reintroduce yourself back into something that probably feels a little easier, a little it's more familiar, you know what to expect in Stronger 3, and then go to Stronger 10, try it for a workout or for a week, see how you feel and how your energy is afterward. And then you can
And should
also
I go back to the first week of Stronger 10 or pick up where I left off?
I would go back to the first week.
Okay, I hadn't done that much already, so it's okay, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the being familiar with it will be helpful. Because you're coming back into it and jumping in. How's your fatigue? Is that a problem?
No, that's fine. It's just it was just because of the stitches. It was right under my arm, like behind my arm and like between the shoulder and the beginning of the arm. And so it was really easy to pull, like all of the muscles you use basically use that. So the doctor said, don't do any of that for at least 3, 4 weeks, and that's what I did. Now it's fine. So.
Okay, great. So I think you're absolutely fine. I think you have a good plan. So
Okay, good. I wasn't sure. Because I
yeah.
know you insist on doing the 12 weeks usually, so I wasn't too sure if I was like cheating.
No. And I think this is a perfect example of why the app is so flexible with life changes, you know, and so you've got to pivot, but you've got now a good out and a good way to go back and get back on the on ramp and then hop back over to, you know, where you were. So
Okay.
I think that's a great plan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, whoops. This one disappeared. Where'd it go? Chris says, I have some confusion on how to measure the vertical jump. Do I start with feet flat and pull knees up to jump? And also not sure how to measure without a second person. Okay, so you do start with feet flat and you're just going to raise your arm up. So what I would try to do is you can just get your fingertip dirty, or if you've got like children's colored chalk, you know, on a white wall or somewhere where you'll be able to see it, or if you have white chalk and you can go to a dark wall or outside on the brick or something where it's going to show up, that is kind of how you can do it on your own. So you're gonna measure or mark your just standing flat feet, reaching up. And then you're going to jump and make sure you've got enough chalk on your finger so you can do it. And then you're going to jump and tap right there. So you're going to do that 3 times and measure the distance between the two, the mark from flat foot to the mark to the lift in the vertical. Does that help? Hold on here. I read the instructions on the scorecard, but still, okay. Great, thanks. So I think we got it. All right. And I don't know about anybody else. Has anybody else done that? That one is probably the hardest and most humbling for me. So that's one that if we don't practice it, we're going to lose that upward power. So, you know, having a target even to a bottom step in your house, just jumping up and hopping up to it gets a little hard to do the second step because you're now also doing depth and vertical jumping, but getting the power and then imagining you're actually going up and beyond it, better and smarter probably than skinning your shins on, you know, a really high step. So just be careful and cautious when you're doing it. But we absolutely, that one in the long jump, the broad jump, if you will. Also just tough, but total demonstrations of power and how quickly we can lose that. All right. Anybody else want to ask a question? Feel free to unmute if you would rather do that than chat or drop it into chat.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I like hurt my like groin muscle, I guess, on the left side doing leg swings back in January, and
Okay.
it's not hurting quite as bad, but it definitely feels very weak. And so I don't know like how to really work out now. I've been doing like the punching exercises and the arm stronger too, but then I actually overdid it, and then I hurt my chest and back doing that, I guess. But now I want to get back to just doing like workouts, but I feel like I can't do quite too much, you know, with my groin not being, it just feels kind of weak there, you know, now. So I don't know how to work out now. I don't want to just do the punching thing and stronger too. That's getting old. I've been doing that for a couple months now.
I bet it is. Have you done any Pilates, Eileen?
It's so slow.
I know it is. I don't necessarily want you to do it forever or only, but you know, some of the leg exercises I'm thinking would help you to strengthen the muscles that are a little bit weak right now and going to call on them and tax them, not in a way that actually is standing and stabilizing or resisting gravity, but inside leg lifts or side lying leg lifts, for instance, you're going to be using some of those to get things moving and not against additional resistance or even the resistance of your own body weight. But those things might be good. And the other thing would be, some yoga, even some shorter yoga, and some of the mobility videos, but more of the mobility flow. So that one that is, I think it's 8 to 10 minutes.
It's called Mobility Flow.
And
Okay.
it's a recent addition.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that.
But it's going to get you a little rotation, a little movement that, things in yoga would be great as well, where you
Okay.
one leg forward, one leg back, we're actually opening up through the gracilis and the muscles in the core and inner thighs when we're doing triangle pose, or you've got one split in the front, one split in the back, and that's going to inform a lot for you and is probably going to tax it a little bit, but you need to know, am I at the place where it's going to feel a little uncomfortable while I'm taxing it, but yet each time it's getting a little stronger. There's a dance that you'll have to do where, yes, we need to push it a little bit. As long as I feel like I recover when it's over and I'm not more sore or going a step backwards. So yoga poses would be great as well, but
Okay.
I think either of those where we're doing some unilateral, some isolated work would be good to kind of wake those muscles up again by themselves before you're ready to then incorporate back into regular strength training.
Okay. So a couple of weeks of like Pilates, yoga, mobility, flow. And can I just, how often do I can do those things every day?
I wouldn't do them every day so much as do it for the first week, maybe every other day, and then listen, tune in on that day off. That would be the day where are you walking, getting steps in regularly?
I'm getting steps in, but not every single day. My dog is not wanting to walk lately because it's hot. So my routine is kind of off because she refuses to walk.
Just like stop right there in my tracks. I'm done, kind of deal. That
I
one today.
want to ask you about so today I did the hip and back corrective exercises. So how often should I do the hip corrective exercises?
Those are good too, and you can rotate that out. So if you want,
Okay.
now you've got good variety. So slip that one in with a Pilates or with a yoga, and rotate those. And on the days between, walking in between to kind of now you're putting the muscles that you've just worked to the test to see how do they feel. But while doing that, you're getting circulation back into them to help you with the recovery.
Now, do I need to warm up or cool down before like Pilates, yoga, mobility flow, or are they just their own thing? They don't need to do that.
They are kind of a warm up. So,
Okay.
yoga is so intelligent that it really starts you with a good warm up. The way
Okay.
that you warm up potentially with yoga is you're not going to force the stretch that you did 2 days ago in the middle of your session. You're not going to try to get that in the first 5 minutes of your session. You're just going to go to feel as opposed to I could put my hands down on the floor with that. So there's no comparison. It's more, am I feeling it in the right place? And watching from start to end where you get there. But you should be okay with all of those, just easing into it as
So
opposed.
is there a time of day restriction for Pilates, yoga, mobility, flow? Because like I did the corrective ones this morning, so can I still do one of those, or is it like too late in the day type thing?
No, those are. I would say they fall still under mind body. I think there's actually quite a bit of concentration and focus in Pilates. It's a little less truly mind body, but the intensity is fairly low. So no, you can no time restriction on those. You can put those in
Good.
in the day and you're going to be fine. Yeah.
Okay. So you think that if I just start doing those three, like three, four workouts, then it'll strengthen that groin muscle up. 'Cause it's been a long time. And I just feel like it's better now, but it's just weak, you know? It's been weakened.
And I think muscles like that and a like a high hamstring pull is the same way. It'll plague you. And the part that is, makes it a little bit easier to accept and understand is it's such an integral and important piece. It's connecting a lot of parts, really, and a lot of movement. So the hip is a complex joint. There's a lot going on there. So let it, take the time. But now I think you're ready to let's concentrate and see if we can wake it up, strengthen it, and the muscles surrounding it so that basically it's been offline for a little bit. So we got to just reboot the Wi-Fi signal and get it a little bit stronger.
Okay, because I've done a lot of muscle pulling, but you think this will fix it?
I think this will point us in the right direction. Yes.
Okay, I thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Where did you say we find the mobility flow that's been added? So if you go, it's in the category of mobility. I think that's what it's called. So you can do that. There are two ways to find things, by the way. So you can go to the categories, mobility, and scroll, just scroll down. And I think the newest one will be there. Or you can go to your browse, and there's a little search bar. And I know I was just saying this to somebody else earlier today. So I know not everybody's using it, but you can type in, I want shoulder exercises, or I want something for core or intervals, or in this case, mobility. And all the mobility videos or anything that's got something in it, in its description, its title will pop up. So you'll get some things that feel like, well, how is that a fit with? But there's probably something in it that says this, it'll help you with this, that, or the other thing. So try that as well. Where do I find the June master class and what is it called? Will it help with pulled muscle? What did I do in June? Do you know what the title was?
It was something about like recovering from pulled muscles and getting hurt, which is what I'm kind of feeling that might help with me if what I'm doing.
I don't think that was what we talked about. Somebody else want to help me with that? But where you can find it is when you go into it. So if you're a VIP, so if you're Essentials, you don't have that one. But if you're in VIP, then you have master classes as a category. And so they're all right there. Muscle building. Yes, thank you so much. We talked about muscle building, talked about protein, building muscle, what it takes, what's true, what science says now. So, what are we able to do, whether we're peri, post, or in menopause? Thank you for that. All right. Anybody else have a question? Otherwise, we will wrap up for today. Safe holidays. It's a big weekend. And I don't know. We are doing holiday on Saturday. I don't know if other people have Monday off, but we do not. So we will be here. Happy 4th to everybody.